I'm Coach Jake. We call all the pastors here at Maywood coaches because we really believe that God has gifted us to be his body together, and that the real role of a leader at Maywood is to equip you all with the gifts that God's given you. Today, we're in a series on the Gospel of John, and if you have a Bible, you can turn to John chapter 1. We'll start in verse 35 here in a second, but if we could go to this next slide, I want to ask you guys, when you see a crowd of people, and there's a whole busy crowd passing by, does one person ever stick out to you, and you start to wonder about that person and their life? I was near a real big crowd of people the other day driving, and it was like stop and go traffic, and there were a lot of people walking around, and this one guy had these long sleeves on and this big sun hat and like this strange thing I'd never seen, like covering just his nose. And it caught my attention. And then I wondered if maybe he was struggling with some sort of, you know, couldn't get any sun exposure or something. But then as I was stuck in traffic, I just started to think about his family and all these other people connected to him. We see a crowd a lot of times, we don't notice anyone, but sometimes your mind starts to wonder about who's that person's family. Who are the people who care about that person? What's that person's story, right? And today, if I went around with the microphone and talked to different people that Larry knows really well and cares about deeply are going to be really different than Ian up in the balcony and who he cares about deeply, right? Like all of us, we see a big crowd of people. Most of them may not matter to us, but they matter to somebody, right? And there's people you care really deeply about. And today, in our passage, we're going to look at several people who bring somebody else to Jesus. They tell somebody about Jesus, and they bring them to Jesus to get a new life. And right out of the gate, before we pray here in a second and we read this scripture passage, I want you to think about who's somebody in your life you care deeply about. You think, man, I wish if I could pick somebody to bring to Jesus, to tell about Jesus, that's the person I would pick. Somebody fresh in your heart. So think about that. And it's okay even to have that be yourself. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, I need to get right with God before I do anything else. And that's okay. But let's pray. Jesus, as we read this passage, it's testifying about you. And John wrote it down so we could believe in you and have life in your name. And I pray for that to be true today. Help us to experience you. And then help us to go tell other people and bring them to you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to start in verse 35 of chapter 1. It says, the next day John, this is talking about John the Baptist, was there again with two of his disciples. John was this guy who was preaching about the Savior coming and the need to change, and he had people following him. And so then in verse 36, it says, when John saw Jesus passing by, John said, look, the Lamb of God. And we're going to go through a pretty big chunk of scripture today, so we're going to hit things pretty fast. But if we can go to this next image, here's what... this is our theme today, tell and bring. Here's what I want to point out about John, though. John's our first person to do this, to help somebody else get to Jesus. And the big thing John does is he sees Jesus. Most people who have Jesus walking by them that day, they didn't say, look, the Lamb of God. They didn't say, this is the person who's going to take away all of our sin, who's going to take away all of our punishment. John saw Jesus, and then he pointed out Jesus to other people. Some of us were trying to help other people in our life. You're trying to help your sponsee, or you're trying to help your neighbor, or you're trying to help your nephew. First thing I think you can do is to notice Jesus. If you are not noticing what Jesus is up to around you, it's going to be hard to tell somebody and bring them to Jesus. Because just your little fact sheet or your good advice for how to get over their problem or whatever you want to try to help them with, if you can't bring them to actual Jesus, then you're not going to bring them to new life. So the first thing is to say, like, God, open my eyes like you opened John the Baptist's eyes. So I could see you and see what you're doing. Because Jesus is working every single day. There's not a single day this week where he's going to clock out, right? So John saw and he said, look, there's Jesus. And this next passage, we'll see, he lets his disciples go and with Jesus. So let's go to this next verse. It says, when the two disciples heard John say this, they followed Jesus. John didn't have to stay the center stage. John didn't have to solve all their problems, right? John wanted to point them to Jesus and get them connected to Jesus, right? So he lets them go. These are two guys who were already following John the Baptist. They were already doing pretty good, but they didn't have the best. And maybe the person in your mind, maybe they're doing pretty good. You know, somebody in my Sunday school class was talking about a coworker of theirs who was a good husband, a good worker, a good dad, but they were missing Jesus. They had this bitterness towards God, right? Just because somebody is doing some good things doesn't mean they're doing the best. And somebody you might know might be like these guys. They're following some good stuff, but they don't know Jesus yet, okay? So John lets them go once he points out Jesus. Verse 38, turning around, Jesus sees these guys following him and asks. Jesus is the best at asking life-changing questions. So anytime you see Jesus ask a question, it's worth paying attention to it. Jesus says, what do you want? A lot of times when I get to teach this passage, I focus on that question, and maybe somebody here today needs to answer that one with Jesus. But I love these two guys, how they respond in this next slide. They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, so this is a submissive thing to say, where are you staying? Not everybody in the Gospel of John gets close to Jesus. And not everybody in Independence is going to get close to Jesus. And maybe not even everybody in this room is going to get close to Jesus. But if you want to follow their formula, which is a good one, if you come to Jesus with a submissive attitude of, I have something to learn, and if you say, and I want to spend time with you, I have something to learn, is humble, and I want to spend time with you is available. And some of us are one of those without the other, right? We want to learn something from Jesus, but we only got 30 seconds, you know, and then we're on to the next thing. Are you humble and are you available? Because here's how Jesus is going to respond if you are. In verse 39, come, Jesus said, and you will see. Jesus' invitation to people typically isn't, well, fix this one thing in your life, and then here's a ticket to heaven. That's not normally how Jesus talks to people. Here, change this one thing, and if you ever get in trouble, call this number or something. You know, like, that's not how Jesus normally talks to people, right? He normally says something along the lines of, leave your whole old life behind and spend a bunch of time with me. Occasionally, he'll say, go do this mission for me. But a lot of times, it's just, come do the things I'm doing with me. So come, and you will see. What Jesus is offering to us is to be his followers, to spend time with him and to do what he does. We sang that song about, like, Jesus, the thing I want is to be like you. That comes through being close to him. He wears off on us. You start to smell like Jesus if you've been hanging around to Jesus really close, right? So come and you will see. That's what's being offered to us. So verse 40, so they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. It sounds like, if you read the whole chapter closely, like that Jesus is not staying in a house. It sounds like he's like living outside. But Jesus hosts these people, even though he's homeless. Which is interesting if you're afraid of hosting people for Jesus. Like, you don't have to have nice things to host like Jesus hosts, you know. But they spend the day with him. Imagine that. Like, if Jesus offered to spend the rest of the day with you, would you even take him up on it? Or is it like, well, I got places to be, you know, like, I got things to do. But these guys, they spend the day with him. Okay, verse 40, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. So this is one of our guys who just got to know Jesus. He spent a matter of hours with Jesus. What does he do next? Verse 41. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." What that means is the Savior we've been looking for, the Savior we've put our hope in. The first thing he does. So I'm curious, you know, our theme today is to tell and to bring, tell people about Jesus, bring them to Jesus. Andrew's urgent about getting his brother Simon to Jesus. For you, are you urgent to tell anybody about Jesus? Are you urgent to bring anybody to Jesus? Let's see how it works out. Verse 42. And Andrew brought him to Jesus. It's a very simple formula. Here, before we move on from this verse, you know, Jesus is not hanging out by some rock today or something or by some tree that you can just be like, well, I'm just going to go over to 18th Street and take Jesus, you know, take this guy to Jesus. If that person that you have in your mind that needs Jesus, if they listen to you when you tell them Jesus is a big deal, Jesus can change your life and save you, where are you going to take them? How do you bring them to Jesus? There's not like one right answer to this. I'm not looking for you to say, well, I'm going to bring them to church on next Sunday or something. I mean, that's something you can do. But the tell and bring here, we've got this picture of this lady kind of pulling somebody to the mountains. Telling somebody about Jesus is one thing. Bringing them to Jesus is a different thing. Telling somebody this is a great view of the mountains is one thing. And saying to somebody, you have to see this, and pulling them with you is different, right? Because telling somebody, I saw something beautiful, it sounds nice. If it doesn't take anybody's breath away, right? But seeing something spectacular can impact people, right? Telling somebody about Jesus can open them up. Jesus is the one who changes people. Okay? Now, Mayhew Baptist Church, this room does not have like a monopoly on Jesus. I'm not saying the only place people can meet Jesus is in this room. But it's worth you having a conversation with God about like, God, how do I bring this person to you? It could be as simple as having a story in the Bible that you're going to talk to them about here's a way that Jesus helped this person. It could be taking them to another Christian that you know that can shine for Jesus. It could be worshiping Jesus and inviting them into a group of people worshiping Jesus. It could be going and feeding some homeless people on Thursday night and inviting them to be a part of that whole experience because Jesus is involved there. There's a lot of different things you can do, but you need to think about, like, where am I seeing Jesus and how do I bring somebody into that experience? Because the ultimate goal isn't for you to fix them, it's for you to get them to Jesus, for them to see the landscape, to see the beauty, and to be changed, right? So we've got one more story, because here's a step back, actually, before we go to this verse. Peter, we don't get a lot of details about Peter in John chapter 1, but those first couple of guys, Andrew and his buddy who were following John, they seem to be making some good life choices. But the little bit we know about Peter from another gospel is Peter's the type of guy that when he gets close to Jesus, he's saying, I'm so messed up and I've done so many wrong things. Just get away from me. And some of you know people who they have a lot of potential, but if they actually saw something good, they'd say, I want to keep that away from me because I just break and destroy things and I'm too dirty to be near something good. That's what Peter was like. That's what Simon was like, I should say. So let's see how it changes once he meets Jesus. Jesus looked at Simon and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter, or also means rock. When this person who has all this potential but has all this like self-defeat, I've done too many ugly things going on inside of them, when they meet Jesus, they get a new identity right on the spot. Some of us know people who have so much potential, but they've made a mess of it and they're broken at this point. Maybe you're that person today. No good advice from somebody like me fixes somebody who's broken like that. But meeting Jesus can totally transform somebody's identity. That's one of the reasons we bring them to Jesus. It's like, we can't fix somebody like Jesus can change somebody, right? Verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." This is a very common calling from Jesus. Jesus is giving that calling to us, right? Follow me. Do the things I do. I can remember, I think, I'm talking about Ian again. I think Ian might have been in the room. We were talking about this. But I remember Mia Snow was back when youth group. And she's like, what does this mean to follow Jesus? Like, what does that mean? We were up in the little room 300s with the youth group. I remember talking about when you're following somebody in a car, if you don't have Google telling you where to go and stuff, if you're actually literally following somebody in a car, which maybe nobody does anymore, but the way you follow someone in a car is you stay close to them. When they turn left, you turn left. When they speed up, you speed up. I was following somebody the other day and they were driving fast and they kind of rolled through a stop sign and stuff. And like, I did the same stuff. And Samuel from the back seat is like, we're going too fast. You know, like he's not used to that. But it's like, well, I'm following this person. This is what we have to do. We do what they do. Maybe not rolling through stop signs, but following Jesus is the same sort of thing, right? You just literally watch what he does, and you just do the same thing. You don't even have to know the destination. You just have to be close to him and do the things that he's doing, right? So Philip gets this call to be a disciple. Verse 44, what does Philip do? It says, Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Verse 45, our next verse here in the next slide. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, if you don't know your Old Testament, you might be like, what is he talking about? The basics is he's saying this is the guy that everything is set for. This is the one all of our hopes are set on. This is the one who's going to save us and change us. Now imagine if you went, this is basically his pitch. He's telling this Nathanael who Jesus is. And it's pretty short, right? It's basically one long sentence. The person that you want to talk to about Jesus, I don't think they need 20 minutes about who Jesus is from you. So much as like, just come out and say it in a bold way. This is who Jesus is. Jesus is the only one who could get my life right. Or Jesus is the only one who's actually stood on his promises always for me. Or Jesus is the only one that I could really trust enough to follow. Whatever it might be. But what would your sentence be that you want to get through to that person that's bold about who is Jesus? Sometimes we approach people about Jesus like a used car salesman. You know, it's like this, like, kick in the dirt, feeling kind of ashamed of this, like, crummy thing that we're doing, right? Like, we're trying to give a bad sales pitch to somebody. Like, please, would you do me a favor and come to this thing? Philip comes in this bold way of, this is a big deal, and you need this. Not everybody responds to bold statements. That's what happens here in verse 45, or 46, sorry. It says, Nazareth, verse 46, can anything good come from there, Nathanael asks. So Nathanael picks out like the one thing about that statement that he doesn't like, this like geographic prejudice. You know, it's like if you heard somebody good was from St. Louis and you're just like, I don't care because they're from St. Louis, you know, right? Or whatever place you don't like, you know, but Nazareth, can anything good come from there? He's at least throwing some criticism back, right? And he even sounds maybe jaded. The person you're trying to reach out to may not want to hear what you have to say, right? And some of you are like, man, so I better come up with the right arguments. I better come up with the right debate stuff. I better know how like put them in their place, probably not going to work, right? Probably better to follow Philip's example. When he gets negativity back, he doesn't say, well, let me tell you why Nazareth is a good place. Right? He doesn't do that. He says, come and see, said Philip. Come and see. I'm not going to defend Jesus' claims. I'm going to tell you what I believe about Jesus in a bold way, and I'm going to offer you a chance to really see Jesus. Because you're not going to convince somebody with your own good arguments, right? But come and see. Think about that. What if you said a bold statement about Jesus? How would you actually open the door for Jesus to make good on that? It could be something as simple as talking to this person about what's going on in their life and then saying, can I pray for you about it? Now, if God hasn't told you specifically that he's going to fix their car or whatever, I wouldn't necessarily make promises or write checks with your mouth, you know, that God hasn't told you to write. But I also say, like, why not open the door for that? If their car's broken down, why not say, well, let's pray that God would fix it right now and pray for it? Like, why not open the door for Jesus to do something you can't do, right? If you're going to say something bold and then say, like, a come and see, right? Maybe you think you've got all the answers, but let's go help feed these other people. Or let's go do this service thing together. Let's go do this thing where Jesus is involved, and let's let you see if your way is better or his way is better. So to tell and bring here, I've got a picture of my kids, Samuel and Sequoia, and this was just from a few days ago. Sequoia loves horses, and Chrissy engineered this thing when we were on vacation where we got to go do a little horseback riding with them, which they'd ridden a pony on like one of those like circle things where they're all tied up, but they'd not really ridden horse before. Sequoia was just super excited, and she's typically our one who's like more into new things. Samuel's a little more pensive, maybe, to put it in order. You know, he's a little more like, I'm not sure about this. So when Samuel saw the horses, he was initially excited, but by the time he got up to like, let's get on one of these, he didn't want to go, right? And he's kind of like backing back, you know, off of that, and doesn't really want to do it. And he was supposed to get on the first horse, and we had to have Sequoia get on one and kind of ride it around with Chrissy, obviously, to like show him like it's not going to eat you or anything, you know, like it's safe. In the end, Samuel still didn't want to go, right? But he's 4 and a half, and he's my son, so this is different than what you can probably do with your adult friend who doesn't want to go or something, right? But he's 4 and a half, he's my son. I just had to pick him up and be like, we're doing it. And we got on the horse. And he really liked it. Like, within seconds of doing it, he liked it. You can't force anybody to come to Jesus. Like, God himself is not going to force someone to come to Jesus. So, like, you don't need to start doing things that God doesn't do, right? So don't pick anybody up and drag them to church. But sometimes there's this idea of, like, you know somebody really well, and you know they trust you, and you know they care about you, and if you really told them, like, please come to me and feed these homeless folks, or please, I'm going to pray before lunch. Can I pray out loud and pray for you? A lot of times, if you pushed, people would let you open a door for God. So don't literally drag somebody to it. But we push for a lot of other stuff. You push to help your family members out. You push to make yourself look good. You push to get Chiefs tickets or whatever. You know, like, why not push for, like, hey, can I pray for you about that? Why not push for, like, it's my birthday, and I'd really love for you to come to church and then hang out with me afterwards for lunch. And I mean, like, it's kind of a manipulation, right? It's kind of like a, wow, way to just really be heavy-handed. But if you're going to be heavy-handed about something, why not be heavy-handed about, like, come experience God? I mean, they can say no, and don't browbeat somebody. If someone says no, like, let it be, let it rest. But why not make a strong come and see? A strong, like, you may not even think this is a good idea, but why don't you come and see? The why on that, if I have to say a little further, Bob Spradling, Coach Bob, who was coaching Kyle and Gabby and Corey, all these folks we've had preaching lately, like, Bob's been coaching them on that and really helping behind the scenes. Bob had somebody pester him to come to church when he was like 17 and 18, And he didn't want to come. And then when he came to church, he had an experience with Jesus. You guys have heard about it if you've been at Maywood very long, but that changed his whole life. The friend couldn't do that for Bob, but the friend could push, right? I'm not saying being an annoying friend, don't pester people constantly about Jesus, but I am saying, like, do what Philip did. Tell him boldly, here's who Jesus is, and would you come and see it? If they say no really hard, then just let it be. But make the appeal, right? So let's read on a little further. Why is this a big deal? When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, Jesus said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Real quick, Jesus says this. This is very true. This is high praise. Nathanael has integrity. You can maybe see how he gets a little jaded and grumpy about everybody else, right? If you're walking around the world and you actually have integrity, it's pretty easy to start to just get bitter because there's not a lot of that going around. Maybe you got somebody out there that's your buddy that's got some hangups, even though they got some good stuff going too, right? But I think Nathanael being a true person, he's pretty open because of that truth to other true things, to things that really are good. And that person that you know that might seem really push-office about God, it might be because they've been disappointed by a lot of things that aren't as good as God. And Nathanael actually turns out to be really hungry for truth that he can stand on when he sees it. So here's what happens in verse 48. Or cut off a little bit, sorry. So verse 48 says, how do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. We don't have a lot of detail about what are they talking about, but my guess is, so Nathanael's this type of person who's pursuing God in solitude. And Jesus is saying, I was there when you were trying to connect with God and I saw you. Whatever it was that Jesus said, it made this impact. It pierces to his heart to say, like, this is something special. Some of us have friends that, like, we've been working on them in real soft ways forever, and nothing's gotten through to their heart. If you would just boldly bring them to Jesus, Jesus would immediately pierce their heart because Jesus can do it in ways that we can't. You can spend your whole life working on somebody, and it never pierces to their heart, and Jesus has 5 seconds with somebody, and it's just boom, right to what they need to hear. So verse 49. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. I mean, that is, like, you don't get a faster turnaround from Nazareth, what good can come from there, to, like, you're the real deal. Philip could have never argued or debated his way to Nathanael saying that. But Philip said boldly who Jesus was, and then he brought his friend to Jesus. That's what we do. We don't change people. We say the truth about Jesus, and then we bring people to Jesus. So here's a cute picture with Samuel for us for another second. Samuel's super excited. Said he loved the horse. You know, by the time we're riding it around on this little trail, just starts talking about how good it is, right? The person you know who doesn't want Jesus today, it's possible for them to have this sort of turnaround and quickly say, this is the best thing. Not everybody on your heart is going to say yes to Jesus, but some people will. And it's worth being bold for it. I've got two more verses for us, and we've hit real hard this idea, like, tell people and bring them. But these last couple verses, we're going to talk about how big Jesus is. We have to always experience Jesus ourselves to be fresh to go out there and share Jesus. So Jesus said to Nathanael, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. Some of us had something that really shook us up when we first came to Jesus. Something that we thought, like, wow, that totally turned me around. God did something that no one else could have done. And that's what Nathanael had happen right there. I believe Jesus is saying to you, like, you're going to see a lot bigger things than you've ever seen if you stick with me. Like, that first thing you had with Jesus that turned your life upside down, that's not the end of all that Jesus has to give to you. You've not seen the greatness of Jesus. And just and one more verse on that. We're going to conclude with this one, verse 51. Jesus then added, and in verse 51, you can't see, I'm no Greek expert, but you can't tell this in the Greek or in the English, because English is a little bit flawed in that we don't have like a you all. I mean, the Southerners do, I guess, but like we don't have that like you plural. Jesus adds this, but it's all you plural. He's no longer just talking to Nathanael. He's talking to his disciples in a broader way. You all. He says, then he added, very truly, I tell you all will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. This is referring back to something that happens in Genesis 26 or so, middle of Genesis. Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, his big encounter to start his new life with God, it happens by having this dream of a ladder or a stairway to heaven and angels going up and down and God at the top. For these guys he's talking to, like this true Israelite, Nathanael and stuff, what he's saying is this giant thing that kicked off your forefathers' relationship with God. He's saying you're going to experience something like that. But what he's saying is you're going to experience all this greatness from heaven coming down and resting on me. What Jesus is saying is like Jesus' mission here on earth is to bring all these amazing things from heaven, and we're going to get to see those things in Jesus. Jesus is bringing stuff that's way beyond us to us. That might kind of sound in the clouds or like a, maybe you don't grasp it. The thing for you to grasp today is that like the deepest spiritual stuff that you've ever hoped for, like if it's good at least, like Jesus brings the fullness of that to us. Like there's nothing you've hoped for or dreamed for that's too good or too big for Jesus, right? Sometimes our stuff gets weird or evil or messed up, and maybe that doesn't have to do with Jesus, but Jesus is way bigger than what you're expecting. That's why it's important to bring people to him, not to try to fix them on your own. So we're going to have a time of response. The worship team's coming up. They're going to just do one song for us. We've just got a few minutes here. And for some of you, you may want to stay where you're at. Some of you may want to come down front and pray with somebody. Whether, if you come down front, I would ask, I know we're going to be praying, and sometimes people like to take their masks down when they're talking. I do ask, if you come down front, there's going to be enough of us around. Keep your masks on for us. But if you feel like I need that Jesus that Jake's talking about, come and see him today. Come and pray with somebody and say, Jesus, I need somebody that can give me a new identity. I need somebody that can be more than anybody I've met before. If you got somebody in your life that you want to come to Jesus, why wouldn't you ask for help and say, Jesus, please help me to tell them in the right way and show me how to show them you. Show me how to bring them to you. You don't have to save people. You just have to tell them and bring them to Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you are our Savior, that you are the Messiah, the Christ. We put our hope in you, Jesus. God, we pray for all the people that are on our hearts this morning, that they would come to new life in you. Help us to follow you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.